Okay, good evening everybody, and just passing Tu B'Av, which is really a day of tefillah and Besuras Tovas, and we're marching all the way towards Elul, so it's really a good time to be learning Avos Chesed, working on Avos Chesed. Someone sent me an email about that in Michigan, In Michigan, there's a very big primary in the Senate. Literally, you have a pro-Israel senator versus a rabidly anti-Israel, Hamazi Muslim, like a Mamdani 2.0. And the title said, this is the temples, the synagogue, they're going full force. They've never had this. I mean, there's like, even though Gooder there put out like a, somebody sent me the other day, like a commercial almost, like an email for people that are really getting out, trying to get out the vote because they realize it's a very important vote and it has national and really international implications. But I just want to harp on, this is not a normal time. And really, we are not living in the world we thought about a few years ago on many levels. I think since COVID, there's been a tremendous amount of instability in the world at large. I think COVID just came back today, right? They had Fauci, the whole thing, Congress, all over the news, like reliving COVID and what was true and what was not true, what was done and what was right and what was wrong. I have a lot to say on that, but that's not a topic. My main point is, when we're living in unsettling times and unstable times to an extent, especially for Klal Yisrael, the Jewish people, we need merits, we need chusim, and there, as we started way many moons ago doing the Sefer, chesed, kindness, acts of kindness, charity, helping others brings rachamim, brings merit to ourselves. So we started last time on Bikur Cholim, on visiting the sick, and we're going to pick up where we left off. The Issa B'Gemara, the Talmud says, a person visits a sick person. It's in that merit they can be saved from the judgment of H-E-L-L, of Gehenna. Asher maskel el dal, the Talmud says, Asher, praise it as a person maskel el dal, helps an impoverished person. In the day of evil, Hashem will help them. The ein dal, the Talmud extrapolates that a poor person is no poorer than a sick person. Now, the typical sick person that we've been talking about is really a person who's bedridden, a person who potentially is deathly ill. So if that person who's sick in bed, can't move, can't help themselves, there's no one more poor than them. They can have all the money in the bank, but they can't help themselves. He brings up as a pasuk, the Chavetz Chaim doesn't bring the verse, and he also brings, the Gemara says, that Ein Ra, there is no bad, no evil, but Gehenim, H-E-L-L. Shneimar, called Paul, Hashem, whenever gam Rasha, to the work good person on the day of evil. So it means a person spared from Gehenim. It means that typically a person leaves this world with imperfections, but a person who does Bikur Cholim, it could be the merit that they're spared from that. V'yishlo schachar gam ba'olam hazeh, and they're requited, they're rewarded also in this world. V'humad dekasev, it's what the end of that verse says, the end of that pasuk says, Hashem yishmereihu v'yichayehu yu'usher ba'aretz. A person, Hashem will protect them and give them life and blessing in the land. Yishmereihu, the person will be spared and protected from the Yitzhahara. They'll Yichayehu, will live for Yisrin and Yusher Pa'aretz, and will be, well taken care of in the land. She Kol Mischapim, a person who does speak of Kol and cares for people, they will be honored by others. He brings down the bottom over here. Actually, I'll read the footnote. Yishmereu will be protected. He says Yafa Pirish Bal Karenor, the Sefer, the work Karenor, which is a later work. He says, explains this very well. She'ilu Shloisha Devarim, these three things are Mida Kenayamida. it means this tit for tat, so to speak. When you go ahead and visit the sick, it's proper to check the sick person with his physical body and his spiritual needs. To check if is he healthy or not. And v'nefesh, lo'oir oisa b'tshuva. Shiafash reish b'maisa. Actually, I'll tell you a story. A vignette happens to me this week. My wife and I went to mivakar chol with somebody. This is a lady. She lived down our block. She ate bus a few times. She's in her 80s. She came once for sukkahs. She hasn't lived here for about 2 years. She broke her hip. And she's living by her daughter. Her daughter, this lady herself was relatively secular. Her daughter is the next generation. She's intermarried. When I went with my wife to her house, her high school son was there. I said, they didn't have a bar mitzvah. He's going to ninth grade, no bar mitzvah. I wonder if he had a bris milah. I mean, they were totally secular. I mean, like, gamre secular, rachmanis. And the mother was a very, very nice, intelligent lady, a prominent attorney, etc. But why did I go to this lady? I did go to Mivaka Hall. I went to see her. I hadn't seen her for a couple of years. I thought she'd end up coming back to her house, and she never came back, and has not come back. I was tipped off when her daughter, another daughter of this lady, moved into their house. So I went to Mivaka Hall, but also wanted to make sure that she's not going to end up getting cremated. That I actually spoke to by hearing the show for Shana, that she needed. So she lives, I know, from my house 3 miles away. There are people who could blow a chauffeur for her. Now she lives 3 miles away. I wanted to make sure she's spiritually okay. And it happened to have been, it was not the exact plan, but it happened to be the fact that I ended up there ended up being a real cure of opportunity for the mother. And her son that was there, she's another son who's, you know, not home, goes to the University of Michigan. But when you visit somebody, you can help them spiritually. I used to always, when asked, take the chance to do vidui. I went into San Jose, people, sometimes hospitals or hospices would call. And I went to do vidui, if it's a good thing, do vodka cola. And also, again, make sure the person's not being cremated, getting a Jewish burial. So the family, I have a lot of stories like that. I can tell you some crazy stories about this. But that was, you know, Vida's a little bit, that's the end of the line. That's purely spiritual, Vikar Chol. You know, I'll tell you one crazy story. I don't know if you ever heard this story. This is a crazy story. I got a call in the shul, in Amachad. And I can vividly remember this one. I mean, I feel like this, but I want to make sure people go to sleep tonight. So I got a call, and they called me up. Can I go to this hospice, which I'd never been to? It was like the middle of somewhere in Santa Clara. And so I go there. In a way, I'd never been there before. It was like, no one I knew had ever been there. And I go to this patient. The patient has not been conscious, essentially, for many days. And his wife and kids, all non-Jews, by the way, wife is non-Jewish, therefore her kids are non-Jewish, were there in the room. And the person was Jewish, and they told me their father was Jewish, the husband was Jewish, you know, told me all about him, etc. Okay, so I said, listen, it's going to be, the service is going to be in Hebrew, I'll sit in the front, you can be behind me, and you can just pray as I do it. So I start doing the vidui, and then I start saying Shema. And as I'm saying Shema, he starts, this guy had not moved for days, reaching his hand out like this. Literally, like, they start crying behind me. It was surreal. This guy had not moved, and somehow when I'm saying this, he starts moving. He starts reaching his hands like to grab. It was surreal. This man had not moved for days. Anyways, they were crying. And afterwards, so I said, wow, you know, it's very spiritual. Your father, your husband probably brought back something in his childhood, something. And they were like floored. And so was I. anyways, I said, what do you think about burial? And he's slated to be cremated. I kid you not. And they had no money. At the end of the day, the Federation ended up covering it, But, I like to think he did some level of tshuva, subconsciously. I mean, the man was sitting there stretching his hands. It was like so surreal. My kid said he had been responsive for days. All of a sudden, and he was not responsive again. All of a sudden, trying to grab stuff. It was surreal. But most importantly, Baruch Hashem, this yid was buried like a Jew. It was buried. So you go to somebody, whether to get them, make sure they get buried, make sure that they had proper medical care. I have some unfortunate stories also. One time I went to visit somebody from Temple Emmanuel, a family. I knew the person. And the person was totally fine, but 3 hours later, they pulled the plug on the person. Had I known they were going to do that, I had no idea. Person was fine. I mean, fine. They were sick. Don't get me wrong. But they had communicate with me. But you help a person, make sure that they can do tshuva, pashas and ma'isiv shaslech to return. Actually, I'll tell you one more story. This was oh my goodness. My first year in Amachad, Mrs. Linda Mam asked me to someone she knows who's not an Amachad person. She asked me, could I go to visit and do vidur with this person? This person had terminal, he was not a member, I don't think anyone knew who he was. This person, but was part of the Jewish, I think the greater Jewish Federation World Community. This person had terminal cancer to stage 4 and was in bed in hospice, in his house, home hospice. When I walked in and he saw me, all of a sudden he started to scream, "My mother was right!" I mean, this person, I think, my understanding afterwards, I think her father was about to tell me he grew up so traditional, some of his kids completely left Judaism, and he, whatever it was, he was screaming. When he saw me, I didn't know what. My mother was right. Why did I listen to her? Like screaming. So I walked out of there. I said, this man did tshuva. Screaming like this. Heavy regret. And I admit, that was not the tshuva where I was going to have a conversation with him. Just seeing me on his deathbed in that case was, a meeting for tshuva. I can tell you many stories of even people who there were directives that were switched, they would have died. I mean, I'm just telling personal stories. I have many such stories. But we all have this. And even on a normal level, those are abnormal cases. You go to a person, you can make them, help them do tshuva, help them appreciate it. Sometimes, they're not that so sick, and therefore you just help them feel better about themselves and religiously, emotionally. You help the chayla, the sick person, to tshuva. This is a terminally ill sick person, a very sick person. Yeshua Hashem, Hashem will save you from the yitzhar of the evil inclination. If you help them physically, Hashem will protect you from travail, from yisurim, from difficulties, from pains. And because you were healthy and vibrant and have a busy day, all kinds of things to do and accomplish. Go visit the person, and who's a nebuch, who's in bed. Maybe you don't even know him that well or her well. Hashem will give you honor in this world from other people. Ulehepech, and on the opposite, kama gadol ha'ova mishum is atzav tzuzu. How serious the iniquity is, the evader is, the sin is. If you don't do this, if you don't have a good friend, a relative who's sick, visit them, and especially imagine I just gave you a case, this person would have been cremated. I'll say that I, the Orthodox rabbi, didn't go to that hospice. I said, I'm too busy. That person would have been cremated. And, whatever it is. I'll tell you one case. Literally, this person was almost murdered because he signed a DNR, right? I can tell you a story. This story is fine. Ben Simon, okay? Mrs. Simon, he had a heart attack. She had signed a DNR with him, not knowing what a DNR is. Anyways, she brings it to the hospital, and they don't want to resuscitate him. So she screams her head off. She's screaming her head off. You better not. You know, Baruch Hashem, she had a good shtark, kailis brachim, like real, and they did it. But then afterwards, you know, I got called in. Like, they had the whole hospital staff. And at the end of the day, I came there, and there's someone else there. I'm coming as Rabbi Lois, for one of her friends. I said, listen, she had no clue what she signed. You know, whatever it is. I mean, there are people who need medical advice. They need legal advice. You help a person. Bakshin Ben Simon lived, I think, five more years after that. So children, his first grandchildren being born. You know? But you don't know. You can help a person. What if you don't help them? There are people who die because they don't have the will to live. Especially if, imagine children don't visit their parents, grandchildren don't visit their parents. They have nothing to live for. They're depressed. Or people don't, this is a fact. If you don't, the people who don't have visitors get a worse standard of care in hospitals. Now, at the time of Chavetz Chaim, they really weren't even hospitals. Most people had doctors come to visit them. And they didn't have medical insurance. And today we have a lot of bracha. But today as well, if the people have visitors, they can lose the will to live. The medical staff can give them a lesser standard of care, or the wrong care, or the wrong things happen, or the person doesn't do vidui, or doesn't get buried, or family fights happen because no one's around. It's just things. And if you could be the person that stopped that, it's a terrible sin that you didn't do it. And if you have a friend who's not having been taken care of, the Isid Gemara, the Talmud says, there's a whole story. For the students of Akiva, they were sick. People didn't want to visit him because they were contagious, or maybe another time. And Akiva himself, the Gadol Hador, the Masmen Hador, the saint, the sage of the generation. Right, what does he do? He goes and visits him. He cleans his house. He takes care of him. He changes him. You know, makes some food in the house. Amalo Rabbi Hechiasani, Rabbi, you saved me. Yatsa Rabbi Akiva went out to his students at the Darish and extrapolated, told Darshan, explained to them, Misha'inu Vaka Cholim, if you don't visit the sick, it's at times, you're a murderer. Why? You could be saving people. You could be the one who saves him. You could be the one who asks the question to the doctor, or the one who gives the will to live. Or if the person's not by a doctor, gets him to go to a doctor. There are people who are sick in their homes. They don't realize they need to go to a hospital. No, serious stuff. No, they just don't. They're too lazy, or they're too lethargic, or too, right? Oshiach lahas lechol dar shelo can help them. Oshay yidez yasher es nasha, you give him koyach, a will to live. A will to live. I have a medical book. I forgot what it's called. It's a very famous book. I'm not into this, but I was once skimming it. And this book, one of the major things was that the number one thing for health is the will to be healthy and the will to live. If you have that, yeah. Yeah, that's the best thing. I mean, this person was, that book was talking about even people with serious cancers, serious diseases, if they have the will to live, they're way more likely. Again, it's not guaranteed, it's chaylis, but the percentage is abnormally higher. The statistics change radically when a person has a positive desire to live, okay, and to get better, and to take care of themselves. I mean, and it's not just that people who have it, push themselves in treatments, to walk again, to talk again, that people have strokes, whatever. It's that their physiological body is changed when you have the will to live. And all kinds of studies this way. It says terribly, the Chavetz Chaim points out, people are way too lenient about this, visiting the sick. And certainly the sick is a poor person. And poor just means just money. No friends, smelly, right? Guy you don't want to hang out with usually. A little weird, maybe. He's in the hospital. Oh, who's an ani? V'le'adati taimam. You visit every Jew. You visit. You pick who you visit in the hospital. Only the rich and famous. Only the people that are are popular. You're obligated with the person's wealthy. We're not the democratic socialists who hate the wealthy. They're sick people in many ways, but they hate that. We appreciate the people who are wealthy, and they get some, but so it isn't done. But certainly the poor who really need it. Means the guy who has lots of friends and lots of money, everyone's coming to visit him. You know, they have a party, everyone wants to go. What about the person who doesn't have friends? Doesn't have connections? That, even more so, is a mitzvah to go. When a person is, lonely, sick, no one comes to visit. A person can literally be life or death. Now, he's the Chafetz Chaim, that's going to say something more at his time. The person in his house, a poor person, they would starve to death. They would die. They didn't have food in their house. Also, right? He can't get the doctor. He's so poor. He can't get the medicine. He's so poor. And certainly, again, we don't realize how fortunate we are, much more than 150 years ago. He says, certainly in the winter, they're freezing. They didn't have heat in their houses. They didn't have, and a poor person couldn't afford firewood. If Vegam da agasov atzumas, and this is also very true. When you're sick, one of the major things is people are nervous. They're nervous wrecks, some people. And that gets them sicker, right? And he's sitting there and sick in bed. No one's coming to visit the person. No one's coming to talk to the person. No one's coming to appease him, to encourage him or her. Vemishiv da glasov, right? These weaken a person. Imagine a sick person's in a hospital by themselves. No one comes to visit them, ever. They lose the will to live. There are no friends, there are no family. What are they living for? They're sick. What are they pushing themselves for? As opposed to someone coming and saying, get better soon, we miss you, we love you, we care about you. V'yachol yosel is a sibul misoso. It could literally be the reason they die. U'ma'an na'arayich ha'sa'in ha'nur ha'zeh ke'alizet shvichem ha'zfalas v'loimar. And a person doesn't visit, doesn't care. They literally say, "Yadenu shalchma satamaza." We didn't kill this person. Like the case of the Egla Rufa, the guy who leaves town and gets killed between the towns, right? There, in that case, the sage of the city have to say, "We made sure to give him a zaydus." We talked about this by achnasas orcham, by welcoming guests and escorting them out. That if a person's going for a journey, you give them food to go. And it's not just for the food. It's for the feeling of you're cared for. And if you don't do that, at some level, you're liable for the person dies. And that's a case of when you have a guest and you don't walk him out. Here, you can visit your relative, your friend, your neighbor, and you don't. And you're the person who's supposed to visit them. At some level, you're guilty if they die, if they get hurt. You should have been caring for them. You hid your eyes from them. You're too busy with your own life. You have to check your email 50 times, read the newspaper. Go out to wherever, You have no time to visit your old buddy, your friend, your mommy, Tati, Zaidi, your sister. But there was a makar misaso, and you can literally cause a person to die sooner. But vada gadol ha'avon minsoya. This is a serious sin. Just like a person who's impoverished, has no money, and is going to lose his house or his health care, and you close your eyes and feel like you don't see them. You don't give them charity when they're legitimate. It's as if you warped us, as if you did idolatry. Shneamar. You to hide your eyes from this poor, sick person. You should know him. He comes to your house, you have to take care of him. Right? Now, you know what I'm saying? You're really hiding for your own self. You could have got bracha. You push yourself from others to get bracha, you get blessing. You get shmirah, divine protection. Well, on the contrary, you think you're taking your time, your precious time, your precious money, your precious blah, 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 to help this person. You go to a poor person who's sick. Sick. Poor also means someone has no friends. And you give him advice. You give them encouragement. How great is the reward from Hashem? Even one time visiting, the schar he had. Certainly, if you go there and you help him, get stuck up, bikuach nefesh, saving the person, and give him encouragement and appeasement. Sometimes people have emotional difficulties with sickness, especially they're very sick. Actually, I just, as Hashem and Divrei Yamim, take my CM on Tanakh coming up. Yeah, I said I was over Tisha of learning Eov. I mean, these friends, Eov, yeah, also it's Hashem who appeased Eov. Right? The friends were able to do it, but the friends attempted to give him a chizik. That's what, when a person's sick in bed and they have no koyach, they need people to encourage. The friends also tried to deal with the philosophical problems at the time. That usually leave to a rabbi, unless you are experienced with this. Give them encouragement, strength, something, cheeriness, positivity. You help talk to the doctors. You help, maybe he's worried about some kind of whatever, legal question, whatever it may be. Sometimes people have where they should be buried, they have no one to even talk to. I was once in a hospital room, and literally at the last moment I was there, we changed the burial plans completely. This is, completely different cities, different states. Some people have no one to talk to. So, and other great things. You're blessed. Yeah, bracha. Blessing. As the Gemara says in Baba Basra, Mephias Ani, you appease an Ani. Mizbarach Be'achas Rebracha. The 11 blessings. Not 11 blessings. This is real bracha. Real bracha. Real blessings. Ve'emes Kvarnagu Ken Bekama Kilis Kadashis. And it says, the Chavetz Chaim brings down that certain cities, they had a chevra, a group where they had to go to Bikur Cholim. Actually, if you go to New York, there's a few Bikur Cholim societies. Different Hasidic groups have this. They go to the hospitals, they bring you food. It's an old thing. And to this day, you go to the Fakech, Aluvim, Be'ez Chalim, Oyez Rufu Oysam. You take care for the health and for the food. Actually, my daughter Adina was just there for 2 weeks. She's going back in a couple weeks for this program. It's called Camp Simcha, right? It's the first session she went to with kids or with real abnormal sicknesses, lifetime sicknesses, midgets with terrible sicknesses, and people will never walk, and all kinds of people missing key body parts at work, like real sick kids, Jewish kids. And then 2 weeks she goes back to Camp Simcha. It is for the typical Camp Simcha, which is for kids with cancer. The whole point of that camp is not for medicine. They go to the hospital, so they have a lot large medical teams. It's Simcha. You make these kids happy. You make these kids feel special. You make these kids feel loved. And you empower them to live. Like the first session, those kids, if you'd see them in the street, unfortunately, and I say this with a broken heart, would be like looked at as scorn. People don't want to look at them. They don't even look at them because they look weird. They look chronically sick, scary, quote unquote. And there in this camp, they're the stars. These kids are stars. They put them on pedestals, these kids. I've been there. My father-in-law, my shver, was very involved in this camp. They put these kids on pedestals. They dance around these kids. What does that do for this kid for the rest of the year? People don't look at them. Like, literally, they're scared to look at them. Or they ignore them. Or certainly they're not the popular kid. By the way, a large percent of these children are Jewish kids from secular backgrounds, not from Orthodox backgrounds. So it means they're in public schools or wherever, special schools. They come to this Orthodox camp, which is called Simcha, and the whole purpose is to give them happiness. It doesn't just give them happiness. It gives them a will to live. It gives them a self-esteem that you need for life, that everyone needs in life. And that's what this chevra does. They come visit people, encourage them, give them self-esteem, make them feel loved, give them food when they need it, whatever they need. In all cities. Again, it could be life and death. And a person who could be involved in these things doesn't do it at some level. It's like Sam El Dam Re'echa. You're closing your eyes to your friend's blood. Right? Praise it as a person who looks for the sick, especially the critically sick, the chronically sick, the people who don't want to visit them, the poor, the nebuchs. Going back, right, praise the person who takes care of the impoverished. In the day of evil, they will be protected from Hashem. Dal again is a choyle, any sick person. Kol shekin, certainly, people who are literally the nebuchs, the really sick people, the weird people, people with mental health. Serious mental health disorders that we call dysfunctional sometimes, they came and beat themselves, right? Never got married for that reason. Never took care of them for that reason. And you go visit them, you're giving life, and you're getting life. Again, this year, you have to know who you are, but sometimes you're not really, you know, certain things are rabbinic. I mean, that's just like, where you get buried, how you get buried, doing tshuva vidim. But sometimes you're the rabbi. You know the most. You're the cousin who they let in. They're not inviting any rabbi to come. They don't know any rabbi. They're not taking some strange rabbi. You are the person. Well, there's no one else. They're not there. You're in this faraway town. So you become the rabbi. You gotta make sure that the person gets buried correctly. It's has a tahara, it doesn't get cremated, it doesn't get the plug pulled on them incorrectly, right? That if they have a question about a will, or and taking care of their family, that there's some advice based on the Torah. Now they want to pay back debts, etc. And so you tell us a person who is sickly and deathly ill, make sure you're paying back your loans. This is your chance, right? Make sure you're returning things. Lord has to go back to people. And if you need to get encouraged, don't be scared of death. I actually have a lecture which I gave many years ago, Parshas Vayechi, in Amichad, per the request of Nasak, the Chevra Kedisha, on called The Final Journey, and things that are per person. It's on YouTube, by the way. Not to encourage YouTube, but it's actually on my website, as well as thinktorah.org, right? Preparing for the final journey. Things a person should do to prepare for their final journey. Do practical things. Very practical things. And don't be scared of death. Right? We're going from one room to another. Zedavka lach shosh yamim. Lo shetakif alav chol ma'ad. After 3 days, you do go right away. It's a person that's sick. Again, very sickly period. I'm not talking about a person who has a mild pneumonia is going to get better. A person could die from pneumonia, but the person is, Kasa the Chachmas Adam, the great Chachmas Adam, the great 18th century, late 18th century, Gadol from Lithuania, the Chachmas Adam. This is the minig in certain places, for example, in Berlin, Kiel's Kosh Berlin. When a person is deathly sick for the third day, the Bikur Chom comes for you. Amalo, Atzei Adat, the meaning in Berlin is we come to all the sick. So they are all sick people on the third day. V'lachen, don't worry, we come to everyone. We're coming to you today, we come to everyone. V'lachen, Tazet Saval Mashatirtze. Mashatachav O'achirim Chavaz. Let's just make sure, though, that in case anything does happen, do you have any loans today? Do you have things out you have to take care of? Do you have a will, etc.? For Omlo Isvada, and then I'll say to him, you have to do vidu, you have to confess. He called Mizvada al Khatab. We know that person does vidu for their sins. Maikhlo, they're forgiven. They came in Shabbat Oisim, and because in Berlin, for example, they do it for all sick people. This Chayla knows that it's because day 3, they're all people. He says the Chafetz Chaim, this is a brilliant idea. Should happen every city like this. But if it's going to say not this way, don't go on day three and tell us to a chalim. You'll make him nervous, and he'll actually die because you're nervous. This. Sheken derech, so ask a shayla what to do and how to do this. Sheken derech ha-hamon, and people say, you tell vidui, oh my goodness, they start getting all nervous, they're confessing, I'm dying, it's over. Mikomakom, nevertheless, when you see a person on their deathbed, you better do vidui with them. Now, because if not now, there's no, right? For al tidig mizeh, you tell the person, don't worry, many people did vidui and did not die. And many people never did vidui and died. So if the vidas actually do it, don't worry. And the merit of doing confession of vidui, you should have life. A person who does vidui on the last times of life, has a portion in the world to come. Right, if a person sometimes can't speak, they have something in their mouth, and they can't speak at all due to their sickness, they should think it as they're hearing the vidur. From any other zvadas, by the way, just going back to that case, when I do vidur, I say it in Hebrew and English, and that person's unconscious. I always, when I have those kind of cases, I said to myself, the neshama hears, and in that case, I got stretching out his hand, I saw that. The soul hurt, even the person's body was essentially knocked out, immobile. You say, at least for saying that my death should be an atonement for my sins. You shouldn't say all the things. You should clear out the room with the people, or ignoramus is Ami Aretz, or fragile people, children, wives that are getting mad. If they start crying hysterically, it will actually make the sick person agitated, which is very dangerous. So anyone who's going to be like that should not be in the room. Right? Usually if you're a rabbi, you're going to make sure that number one is you pull them aside first to say, if this is going to be a little emotional, if this is not for you, you should go out now. If you're going to sit there and cry, you're gonna hurt the process. But number two is, that they're on the side. Even if they're in the room, they're not right by the bed. That doesn't happen that way. You say to the person, ask mechila. Say, mikomi shechat kenegdo, whether it's from financial mechila, whether it's something you said. Now, Tom, you call Eilud Varam. All right, if you sin against the person and ask for forgiveness, it could be the death won't be a kapara. And if you owe people money, you owe people money. You can't say, I'm going to die, I don't owe $1 million to these people. You have to pay them back. But a person should do tshuva, so that their death is an atonement. It says, the Zohar says, Mishu ishkayach al-chayla. The Zohar says the following thing. A person who takes care of the sick, umishtadol, shiyashu b'tshuva, and makes an effort that the person should do tshuva. And I just want to say something. There are many good people who are very reluctant to push with family. Okay? Every family is unique, every person is unique, every situation is unique. But if you see your relative jumping off a mountain, taking ODing on drugs, investing in a Ponzi scheme, I would hope you would say something to them and not let them crash, die, die in a crash, lose all their money. It is a challenge with relatives, especially when a person is involved tshuva. But here's the thing. You must think of how you can help people in general, whether it's davening for them, maybe it's inviting them for meals to Shabbos or Sukkot or Hanukkah, whether it's learning with them. And sometimes that's not possible. But in this case, when you're talking about life and death, you better be involved. And very often people are tentative or reluctant to a detriment. And it's because they're more, I'm going to say something a little bit harsh, but it's true. Sometimes people are more worried about themselves than their relative. If they care more about their relatives than the Shama, they would push themselves. Now, that doesn't mean to be a kamikaze. It doesn't mean to be mishugana or to be confrontational. It means you care more about them and their soul and their eternity than if they're a little upset at you, okay? Or even very upset. If something's going to do something seriously wrong, I'll pick an easy one, cremation, pull a plug, okay? You must say something. You must stop it, right? Again, sometimes there's no power to turn, you can't. So then if you don't have power to turn, you have no shot, and that your relative's not listening to you, okay, then you should ask a shot. Maybe you shouldn't cause a whole fight because you can't do anything anyways. But you definitely got to try. And you definitely should, make the efforts. And again, here you have a person. You make them think about Hashem. Say Shema with them. Say words of chizik. Help them. Save them from eternity. So Zohar says, if you do that, right? You'll have a defending angel, so to speak, in Shemayim, who will save you from serious judgment and from unnecessary death and destruction and give you life. It says, the Zohar says, Ashimas Godal Ad Khan, the Sifti Sadaki the Ratsan, the Ratsis, which are the right words to again appease and to give strength to a sick person, will the oiras of the devipias and to give them words of which help them, with things that give them back a sense of self and calmness. And again, you tell a person in the case of this, if you confess, you'll live, it'll be a merit for you. And if for some reason you end up dying, you'll be, a minute left, you'll be spared from sin, you'll be cleansed. You'll get to the world, you get to the Garden of Eden. See there in the Zohar, she'marech be'in ha'chesed. He elaborates on the idea of chesed, especially if you end up doing tshuva through you. How great is your merit? And see the Zohar that says, and also in Parsh Lech Lecha, Am Rabbi Abahu, says Rabbi Abahu, great sinner of Rabbi Yechon, Boy Ur'eh, come and see, Kamaschar Sha'odim Ha'isel Ach Lachsu Tshuva. Right? If you get a person to do tshuva, to come closer and come back to Hashem, in Ish Amidhu, Velo Asa Stachim Chesekroi Ad Ata, Yiskir Shisachim Arazet. And if a person is on his bed, therefore, and he's never given charity, they're a wealthy person. They own a million shares of Apple. No, wealthy, a million shares of Apple. Be Elon Musk. But whatever it is, they own. They're wealthy. They're stingy. They never had an open hand. They didn't help people. They have a beautiful house. They never had guests. They never took care of people. They're just about them. And uncaring, and everything's about their nice car and nice house and clothes, not caring about others, and they're sitting sick in bed. Right? Tell them you're gonna fix it, you're gonna get better, you're gonna fix it, you're gonna be a common person, as a community person, a giver. And the person doesn't get it put on tefillin or daven, you help them. You tell them you gotta daven for yourself, you gotta pray, you gotta put on tefillin. Kipatzino. And charity, especially. Charity, especially if a person is sick, charity saves. You know, staka tatsu imas. And it also saves a person from Gehenna. Imagine a person who help another person. You don't just visit them, you don't just help their physical body, you help their spiritual soul for eternity. How much bracha, how much blessing a person gets with that. Okay, we're going to hold here. And in Meretz Hashem, next week, we're going to start at 8:45. Pacific time, 10:45 Central.